Next case is 05-2047, State Automobile Insurance Company versus Russell J. Pasquale. Ms. Keys Walker.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Irene Keys Walker, and I'm representing State Automobile Insurance today. I would like to reserve 5 minutes of my time. In this appeal, State Auto is asking this court to confirm that its uninsured underinsured motorist jurisprudence has, like the UMUIM statute itself, evolved over the last 36 years. 36 years ago, in the case of Abate versus Pioneer Mutual, this court held that the purpose of UMUIM insurance is to protect persons against loss that, because of a lack of adequate liability insurance, would otherwise go uncompensated. What kind of liability insurance, what kind of tortfeasor are we talking about? Read literally, that purpose would apply to trip and falls. It would apply to food poisoning. It could apply to kids building a chair and injured in somebody's backyard. But at that time, in 1970, this court could not anticipate that attorneys would argue that the UMUIM statute applies to helicopters, applies to homeowners insurance, or applies to dirt bikes being ridden in someone's backyard. But this court's jurisprudence has evolved since that time. It is held that it does not apply to helicopters. It is held that it does not apply to homeowners insurance, but to motor vehicle liability policies that apply to vehicles that operate on public roads and are designed to operate on public roads that are subject to Ohio's financial responsibility laws. It is time for this court to express the purpose of UMUIM insurance in a way consistent with those cases, because courts, unfortunately, keep invoking Abate and the 36-year-old statement of purpose.
Counsel, pardon my voice, but the Court of Appeals dissected the new statute pretty carefully and said, after going through the analysis, there is no place in the statute for the exclusion that you seek to apply. Could you deal with that?
Absolutely, Your Honor. There are two major flaws in that analysis. The first is that the court cites a 36-year-old statement of purpose. The purpose that this court's jurisprudence has evolved over that time is that the purpose of UMUIM insurance is to protect against uncompensated losses that are caused by negligent drivers of uninsured and underinsured vehicles operating on public highways or designed to operate on public highways. Had it applied that purpose to the stipulation that the dirt bike in this case was an off-road vehicle designed for off-road use and operating off-road, it would have been a slam dunk case. There is no way that subsection K of 393718 would have applied to provide UMUIM coverages for injury caused by off-road vehicles operating off-road. Second,
a dirt bike is not exclusively an off-road vehicle, is it?
It can be used on a highway, but that is why the exclusion has a two-prong test. It's designed for off-road use and was operated off-road at the time of the injury. So that is why that exclusion is perfectly consistent with the purpose of the statute. But second, the statutory interpretive principles used by the court was also improper. It used the exclusio alterius proposition to say that anything not excluded by K, any kind of vehicle, including special off-road vehicles, must therefore be included. The proper principle it should have used is the justem generis, which of course means that once a statute states a general category uses a word that's general followed by several examples, You must use those examples to determine what the general award means. Here, subsection K has five categories of vehicles designed for operating on public roads and subject to Ohio's Financial Responsibility Act. If you use that category to define, to ask the question of whether a dirt bike falls within subsection K, proper statutory interpretation would clearly say it does not. And that also is consistent with this court's jurisprudence that has looked to Ohio statute in Chapter 45 to define motor vehicles. This court has looked to 4501, which is a general definition of motor vehicles. It has looked to 4511, which is a definition of motor vehicles for purposes of traffic laws and operations on highways. The stipulation in this case is that a dirt bike is under Chapter 4519, special vehicles, snowmobiles, off-road vehicles. So under that category, again, dirt bikes are completely outside of the motor vehicles regulated by Ohio's UMUIM statute.
Let me, you, in response to Justice Pfeiffer's argument, I think your, it seems to me your strongest point is, which Mr. Mash is going to want, to which he's going to want to respond, is that K refers to motor vehicles, and motor vehicles is defined as an on-road means of transportation. And there wouldn't be any reason for K to refer to an off-the-road vehicle because that's not what K is referring to. Isn't that the sum of your argument? It's like if the statute there is referring to speed limits on a highway, wouldn't expect it to refer to, say, liability of somebody in a building, because it's not part of the sui generis of the statute. And that seems to be your strongest argument to me.
I believe so, Your Honor. And that is the adjustum generis argument. That is the fundamental statutory principle that applies of application. And here the court not only violated that, but then drew in subsection J, which has no application at all, because that refers to the person, the insured, and interpretations of that part of the equation, which really have nothing to do with this case. The only last point I'd like to make in opening is that my opponent has indicated that this court should dismiss as improvidently granted because this is a window case, that, you know, it's been cured by a 2001 amendment. I would urge this court not to do that for three different reasons. First, this case is and has been cited. It's been published in at least two additional decisions since then. And there's a 15-year statute of limitations, as we all know, on the breach of contract cases for UMUIM insurance. So you have at least until 2016 before these cases would become moot. Second, you have unintended consequences. If indeed the UMUIM statute in subsection K regulates off-road vehicles, then you're going to have an impact on an insured who's subject to an exclusion for other owned vehicles. If other owned vehicles is off-road vehicles, and you're using a consistent application throughout the statute, then an insured who's riding a bicycle on a highway, who's riding a farm tractor on a highway, who otherwise is injured in an other owned vehicle that's not an automobile designed for operation on highways, it's going to be out of luck, because it is precisely that distinction that courts have held, that because the vehicle you were in at the time, even though you owned it and it was not listed in the insurance policy, was not a motor vehicle, the other owned vehicle exclusion does not apply. So you're actually going to hurt insureds. And the other side of the unintended consequences that you have is a Pandora's box that you open when you hold that the tortfeasor's vehicle can be a snowmobile, can be a dirt bike, can be an off-road special vehicle defined in a wholly separate chapter of the statute, never intended to be part of the UMUIM statute. And the third reason is because enunciating a clear purpose consistent with the last 36 years of this court's law would make an atmosphere more conducive to additional statutory regulation. If Ohio is to go back, like many other states have, to some kind of mandatory UMUIM insurance, it's critical that there be a jurisprudence in place that the legislature is confident that it can do so without their intent being misunderstood or misconstrued. This court has made those decisions in the past 30 years. We ask that you simply express them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Keys Walker. Mr. Mash.
May it please the court. My name is Cliff Mash, and I represent the appellees in this case. Your Honor, in response to the general theme of Ms. Keys Walker's presentation, I would respectfully submit that it's the legislative's role to declare what the purpose of the statute is, and it's this court's purpose to interpret the statute as written by the legislature. This court is well aware of the history that's involved with the UM-UIM statutes and well aware that the legislature has on occasion amended its statute, declaring in each amendment that its intent and purpose of that. There are a couple of things that are not dispute before I address the things that are dispute. Number one, it's not a dispute that my clients were insured under the policies issued by State Auto. There's not a dispute that the motor vehicle that was involved in this accident, the off-road motorcycle, was an insured vehicle. It was insured by a policy issued by Progressive, providing limits of $12,500. Progressive tendered those limits. I advised the uninsured carrier of the tender of that. They gave me permission to accept that and indicated that they were going to take their position on the defense of their policy. It's also not in dispute that the State Auto policies that for which we seek coverage under the UM benefits are motor vehicle liability policies as defined under the Ohio UM statute. And it's also not in dispute that these policies contain Ohio UM-UIM forms. We've got this language before this court. Lastly, the facts are really not in dispute in this case. We've stipulated to the facts. What is in dispute is really the issue. You know, I would
say. Actually, let me just stop you there. One of the points, the facts that the appellant argues is undisputed is that this was the motocross bike is not an off, or is an off-highway vehicle. That's. There's no issue about that in this case.
We stipulated that the motor vehicle involved in this met the definition of an off-road motorcycle under 45-11-01. I would respectfully submit that that's really not germane to the issue before this court. The issue before this court is whether or not that vehicle constitutes a motor vehicle as that term is defined under 39-37-18 or under the fiscal responsibility statute. That's really the issue before this court. 4511 is a provision that got legislated in 1999 that indicates that certain kinds of special vehicles have special provisions. There's a registration provision for off-road vehicles under 45-1902. There's a provision under 45-1941, which indicates under limited circumstances in which an off-road vehicle can be driven on the highways. What's germane to this court, and I would submit, is whether or not this vehicle constitutes a motor vehicle as is defined under the statute, either 39-37-18 or 45 under the fiscal responsibility law. We have stipulated that the coverage dispute will be resolved under the House Bill 261 version of 39-37-18. Counsel has indicated in her brief, and I think she's intimated in her argument before this court, that really you don't need to look at the statute. You just look at this court's decision in the Dolly case as well as the Davidson case, that resolves the issue. And I would submit that before the court does that, it needs to take a look at the law and the facts that were considered in those two cases. Number one, it's clear that both the Dolly decision as well as the Davidson decision involved Senate Bill 20. It involved a 1994 version of the statute. Didn't look at House Bill 261. Why is that important? House Bill 261, the major difference between Senate Bill 20 and House Bill 261 is House Bill 61 has Division K, Division J, and Division L, which wasn't apparent before the court when it reviewed those two decisions. Division J in House Bill 261 indicates that an insurance company may include terms and conditions which can negate coverage under certain circumstances. An off-road vehicle is not one of these specifically articulated circumstances. Division K in House Bill 261 indicates that under 39-37-18, the term uninsured motor vehicle or underinsured motor vehicle does not include any of the following. List three examples. An off-road vehicle is not one of the examples listed by the legislature when it defines that. Finally, Division L indicates that it provides a definition for the first time provided by the legislature as to what a automotive liability or motor vehicle liability policy means. This was not contained in the Senate Bill 20. Looking at the Dolly case, the issue in that case was whether a helicopter could be deemed a motor vehicle under the 393718. Well, the court, looked at the case and first it said, well, looking at the legislative history of 393718, we see that it references drivers and the operator of a helicopter is not usually referenced as a driver. Then it goes on to say, we don't see anywhere in this legislative history where it indicates an intent to provide coverage for a helicopter or an aircraft. And then it finally goes on and it says, well, let's look at some of the terms that are contained in 393718 and see if they're also contained in the fiscal responsibility statute. And this court in that case said, well, 393718 defines a liability policy of insurance, and we see that that same term is defined under the fiscal responsibility statute. Well, Your Honor, under House Bill 261, an automotive liability statute is legislatively defined. It's legislatively defined to be any policy of insurance that serves as proof of financial responsibility as defined in subsection K in the financial responsibility statute. If we go to subsection K in the financial responsibility statute, we see that proof of financial responsibility means proof of ability to respond to damages of liability on account of accidents occurring subsequent to the effective date of such proof arising out of the ownership, maintenance, use of a motor vehicle. Motor vehicle is a defined term in 45 in the fiscal responsibility statute as being any vehicle that is not is muscularly driven or not powered by overhead means of electric power, and it has specific exemptions or exclusions of what a motor vehicle means. An off-road motorcycle is not one of those specifically designated exceptions to a motor vehicle. If we take the facts of this case and we apply them to the express language of the version of 3937 that applies to this case, we see that the legislature has listed a number of exclusions that are permissibly available to a carrier if it chooses to limit its coverage. We see that off-road motorcycle is not one of those limitations.
Counsel, could I interrupt you?
Absolutely.
Version, because we have numerous amendments of this particular section. What version are you stating applies to this case? Because I see that the appellant's brief also cites Senate Bill 97. Which version are we
talking
about?
House Bill 261. That is the version that was stipulated to by the parties.
That was effective September 3rd, 97.
97, correct, Your Honor. The reason that I brought up Senate Bill 97 was I conceded this at the trial level as well as at the Court of Appeals level. I conceded that the issue that's before this court would not be germane if it were subject to the present version of 393718, because the legislature, when it legislated that version of the statute, had a term in there which says, here's what motor vehicle means, and it has an exclusion which excludes out from that definition an off-road motor vehicle. Your Honor, recognizing that, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Counsel, Ms. Keyes-Walker raised the unintended consequences of your prevailing in this case, namely that other owned vehicles, bicycles, tractors, I assume ATVs, being operated on the highway would then subject the operators of those to a failure of coverage if you prevail today. Could you address that?
Absolutely, Your Honor. That is a disingenuous statement by my opposing counsel, because if you look at J1, which is the other owned vehicle, it says, while the insured is operating or occupying a motor vehicle. It doesn't say vehicle. It references specifically a motor vehicle. Again, that takes us that motor vehicle as defined under the fiscal responsibility statute doesn't include a bicycle because that's muscularly pedaled. That is a disingenuous argument that she raises. All of the provisions in J1 reference motor vehicle. And all of the provisions in K1 through 3 also reference
motor
vehicle.
She mentioned tractor and I assume ATVs. Which typically are covered, even though they're not listed.
I would submit that on a case-by-case basis, you have to look at the facts of the case. I would respectfully submit that the case that is most on point with the situation presently before this court is this court's decision in Metropolitan Property versus Cott. Admittedly, this case involved a different version of the statute as well. This is a 1980 case. That's the case where the issue before the court was whether a snowmobile could be deemed a motor vehicle under the terms of the statute. Really, the fact pattern before that case is almost analogous to this case. In that case, the appellant conceded to the court that the policy on its face excluded the claim. However, the policyholder took the position, however, you know, we claim that they can exclude a snowmobile because it's a motor vehicle under the statute. The carrier in that case likewise said, well, we acknowledge that the UM coverage is read into the policy by operation of what's in 3937.18. We just don't think that a snowmobile is a motor vehicle. That was the argument before the court. This court, in a 7-0 decision, basically said, well, let's take a look at what the term motor vehicle is. It looked at the language contained in the fiscal responsibility statute defining what motor vehicle was, and it said, which is essentially identical to the language in 45 in the fiscal responsibility statute, which is germane to this case, and it said, it's any vehicle that's power-driven, not muscular power, and it went on to say, well, there's some exclusions contained in that definition. None of those exclusions apply to a snowmobile. And the court went on to say that, you know, we believe that the interpolation of motor vehicle from the motor vehicle title to this court from the revised code to the insurance code achieves a just result and was preferable to this court trying to render its own opinion as interpretation, leaving it to the legislature to change at a later point in time. That statement by this court is just as germane back then as it is to this court, to the facts of this court today. We are presented with a stipulated statement of facts, and we are presented with a stipulation as to which version of the statute that we're going to look at under those facts. None of the exclusions that were articulated by the legislature, or none of the limitations in either K, J, or L, fit the fact pattern that's before this court. Recognizing that an off-road motorcycle constitutes a motor vehicle, as that term is defined in the fiscal responsibility statute, we respectfully submit that the appellate court got it right. The appellate court said, we're looking at the statute, we see that it fits the term of motor vehicle under the financial responsibility, and we see that under the list of exclusions that were contained in House Bill 261, this isn't exempted. Under that set of facts and under this Supreme Court's decision in Metropolitan Property, we have to come to the conclusion that it fits the fact pattern. So, under this set of facts and under the statute that's stipulated, we respectfully submit that this court should affirm the decision by the appellate court and come to the conclusion that the vehicle involved in this accident, even though it comes within the meaning of what an off-road vehicle is under 45-1901, still constitutes a motor vehicle under the statute. And we'd ask that you affirm the decision.
Thank you, Mr. Mash. Ms. Keyes-Walker, you saved a little more than 5 minutes of your time.
Take all that time. I want to delete bicycles from my example because they do not apply. But as Justice Pfeiffer pointed out, there are many motorized vehicles that would apply, including tractors, off-road motorcycles, as in this case, dirt bikes, lawnmowers, a whole series of motor vehicles that if you say an exclusion applying to motor vehicles applies to off-road motor vehicles and special vehicles, then the other owned vehicle exclusion must consistently have that definition, and it will deprive insureds of UM insurance. Second, the Metropolitan case would no longer be good law today. Why? Because that was 1980. And after 1980, the legislature enacted a special chapter, 45-19, that deals with special vehicles. 45-19A is snowmobiles. 45-19I is off-road motorcycles, the very vehicle that's stipulated in this case. The legislature has expressed its purpose. Nowhere in the UMUIM insurance statute is there any indication from which could be inferred a purpose to regulate special vehicles under Chapter 45-19 of the code.
Counsel, if we look at House Bill 261, Would you agree that that's the version of the statute that we have to deal with, JKL?
Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor.
And that is a broader definition of motor vehicle than as later enacted in Senate Bill 97?
No, Your Honor. It does not have an additional definition of motor vehicle, but that statute has been construed by this court in terms of motor vehicle generally, and motor vehicle as it's in 4501, motor vehicle as it's in 4511, but not motor vehicle as in 4519.
So it's the idea that we have not construed House Bill 261 in the fashion that you're suggesting?
Well, in fact, you have construed that statute in Lyle versus Buckeye, where Justice O'Connor wrote that K deals with tortfeasor's vehicles, while J deals with the circumstances of being an insured, and utilizing the principles in Lyle, the principles in all of these other cases, Davidson, et cetera, I think there's been ample construction, although Davidson and Delabovi are not that specific statute, ample construction from which this court can derive a general principle of what the purpose of the statute is and where this court goes to find definitions of motor vehicles.
And when House Bill 261 was enacted, 4519 was already in effect?
I would have to check the history. It's in the appendix, but I'd have to go check that for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Keyes-Walker. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.